Hello and welcome to the Dear Mama podcast. My name is Nikki McCann and I am so excited that you're here. Motherhood is a transformative experience. It brings new situations, joys, and challenges. It makes sense that we need new skills and tools to manage this new stage of life so that we can show up as the best versions of us for ourselves as well as our family. After experiencing my own challenges with juggling the realities of modern motherhood, I went on a quest to find tools to support my mental, emotional, and physical well-being, uncovering personal and spiritual development tools that have helped me in my journey to find a calmer and more intentional life. After experiencing the benefits of walking this path for myself, I wanted to create a space to share with other mamas who needed this too. And so, the Dear Mama Project was born. Each week, I'll bring you an inspiring episode packed with practical personal development tools to help you in your own journey of becoming the best version of you. I'll also be sharing real mothers' inspiring stories of using motherhood as a catalyst for personal transformation. It takes courage to decide that you want or need to change, or maybe that you want more. But I truly believe that motherhood presents us with a unique opportunity to grow and transform, and I can't wait to go on this journey together. Hello and welcome to episode 6. In today's episode, I have an amazing chat with Revy Jane Schultz about all things worthiness and motherhood. We talk about Revy's journey with worthiness and how motherhood has been a catalyst for her own growth and development. Revy is such a warm and down-to-earth person. It was such a great chat and I can't wait to share it with you. Before we jump into today's episode, thank you again for all of the support of the podcast so far. I can't tell you how happy it makes me to get your messages and comments letting me know that you're taking your own messages away from the episodes. I absolutely love hearing your stories and knowing that the podcast is helping you. As I'm just getting the podcast up and running, I'd really love your help and support to share the message. If you're enjoying the content, the best ways to support me and the work that I'm here to do is to pop up a written review on iTunes, subscribe, and share the podcast with your friends. Know that each and every time you do that, I do a little happy dance wherever I am. Also, just a reminder that there is the free Create Your Own Morning Ritual ebook that goes along with episode 2, Create Your Own Morning Ritual. I'll include a link to the ebook in the show notes. All right, I won't make you wait any longer. In today's episode, I am chatting with Revy Jane Schultz, wife, mother of two, entrepreneur, lifestyle influencer, writer, and public speaker. I had been lucky enough to hear her speak on her purpose tour, where she shared her own journey of working on worthiness and self-love out loud. Revy is so dedicated to her message of inspiring women and talking about tough topics to normalize mental health and the challenges that we all face. I really loved having the chance to chat with her, and as you'll see in the podcast, she had me crying within the first 5 minutes. I hope you guys enjoy this chat as much as I did. Hi, Revy. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be here as part of your podcast.
I know. So exciting. So I thought we might just start if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do for work, your family.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from the Gold Coast. I guess I am an influencer. Mm-hmm. I'm coming to terms with that term because it's so loosely used in the industry, and I think I'm starting to really own it because it is such an honor to have influence over people. So I'm an influencer. I started out in the fitness industry. I owned my own gym for 6 years and recently closed it in the last year. And really I've just kind of organically gone into the online space, sharing the ups and downs of life, being an entrepreneur and business, and now motherhood in the last 3.5 years. So I've been always kind of sharing the hard stuff, and that's really resonated with, you know, hundreds and thousands of women around the world. So I guess I'm known for speaking about stuff that's really uncomfortable, and I'm really happy to kind of talk about that stuff because I think it's really important for mental health, as someone that suffers from anxiety myself. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a nutshell of me. I have two daughters, Lexi and Lola, who are 3 and 1, and a wonderful husband, and yeah, just loving life at the moment. It's yeah, good.
That's so good. And I'm so glad that you are owning your role as an influencer. Yeah. I guess it would have been like quite a big thing to kind of process. Like, was it unexpected for you when so many people were interested?
I guess it's totally unexpected when it's not actually a job or a career. There's no job description for influencer. So yeah, completely unexpected. And it's something that you kind of just evolve into. I mean, now it's much more known, but there are still family and friends that I really have to explain what I do, and the collaborations and partnerships that I have are work, and some people just don't get their heads around that. So yeah, it's a pioneering industry, and it's creating so much flexibility for women like myself who want to have you know, not that 9-to-5 job. So yeah, the spirit in me that's completely an entrepreneur born person is just loving the flexibility of it, the fact that I can really drive what makes me thrive and shine, whether it's fitness, whether it's motherhood, fashion. It's really like, you know, the direction that I want to put it. So that's amazing. And yeah, I think the more we really respect the fact that influencers are, it is a thing, it is a job. It's for people to step up to, because essentially you're being a role model to a mass of people. So it's an honor, it's a privilege.
Yeah, and I love that you use your role as an influencer to spread a really positive message and to talk about things that maybe don't get spoken about. And I know you've just finished your tour, which I had the absolute privilege of going to and hearing your story and hearing your message. And you have such a powerful story and such an inspiring message. I feel like, yeah, anything that gives people like you an opportunity to share that is just amazing, and we do need more of that. So
I think you have a bone to pick with you,
actually. Okay.
You weren't expecting that. If you are here from my channel and you've come to listen to the podcast, and you haven't listened to any of Nikki's podcasts before her episodes, you have to listen to episode 5.
Oh, no, I
don't. No, I listened to that this morning and was just crying while I was trying to get ready. So, yeah, your story is very inspiring yourself, Nikki, and I think it's an incredible story. It really resonated with me. Oh, God, we're both crying. you know, it's just, it's really, you know, it's eye-opening to hear anyone's story. And I think that's why I'm so excited for you with Dear Mama, because I feel like it's a very on path, something that's so purpose-built. So I think you're going to do amazing things.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting that at all. So thanks for just like really catching me off guard, lulled me into a false sense of security and just like went straight to the heart. Thank you. I really feel like, yeah, it is on path and on purpose, and I need to breathe through that, because that's like taking me right back there.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was a beautiful listen, and I think it will touch many people's hearts, and many people unfortunately will be able to relate. I certainly did, and I think it is a space that we want to talk about more of those hardships, because motherhood's freaking hard. If we don't talk about the hard shit and we all pretend like everything's perfect, it's just a recipe for disaster, because 99% of the time it is bullshit. It's just not right. From birth, from pregnancy, birth and beyond, it's tough.
Yeah.
Every day, you know, you get some days that are just heaven, but, oh, my gosh, a lot of the time it's just rough and guts. So hearing about your upbringing, and, you know, that's certainly why I was on, did my tour, was just to kind of share where a lot of this stuff, where a lot of my struggles now stem from. It's so important to hear more of those stories to really help people overcome and embrace their past and know that it's just a lesson and it doesn't define us.
Yeah, and I feel like I feel it's interesting that people who do go through things like that often turn out really, really strong and really, really resilient. And I feel like it's good to try and flip the script a bit on it and say, like, this thing might have happened to you, but you can get power from that. You can turn it around and make it something that makes you stronger and that gives you your purpose, and that you can kind of, yeah, I guess, own it rather than hide from it. And yeah, that was my, you know, thing with episode 5 is I want to be like, this is my story and I own it and I'm grateful for it. And it was shit and it was hard, but I'm in a weird way grateful because it has made me me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of healing is just accepting and actually seeing it as something that you can have gratitude for. And despite all of the difficult situations and the feelings that stem from that, it's really made you the person that you are, and you're such a beautiful person. I feel the same, that I wouldn't have met my husband and been the person that I was, that he would be able to fall in love with. And yeah, the mother that I am, all of that stuff, it's really turned me into a person that has a lot of empathy for people and has given me so much purpose to use my experience as an example for some, and unfortunately for people who can relate to it. I say unfortunately because I just wish no one would have to go through any of that stuff, but at the same time, it just gives me a voice and something that I can share with others to help them heal in their journey.
Yeah. And do you, so I know obviously a bit about your story because you shared so openly during the tour. Do you, what has your journey with worthiness been like? And obviously challenging, but like, what, how have you been able to kind of go from where you were to where you are now?
Yeah, so I guess the snapshot of me now, like if you were just to jump on my Instagram feed, is like, oh my gosh, this girl's got it together, and you know, she's happy and whole. And I guess, you know, rewinding it 20 years ago, I'm 28 now, so as an 8-year-old, it's a completely different picture. And I had zero self-worth. I didn't know what worthiness meant. And my self-esteem was shot. I really struggled as a teenager to find a sense of identity and belonging. I faced severe rejection and abandonment, abuse in all forms as a child. So to come from that to here, there has definitely been some work in worthiness. And it is a constant discovery. This journey of worthiness is not something that I feel like I will ever completely arrive at, but there are definitely moments where, like right now, I feel incredibly in tune with myself. I think the biggest lesson is actually defining what it is. You know, what is worthiness? What does that mean to you? And dictionary wise, it's having those qualities, believing you have the qualities of what it takes to have respect and to feel like you belong and to get attention from people. And for the majority of my life, I was looking for worthiness in the completely wrong ways. And I know, like you said in episode 5, you were saying that it was like materialistic things, and it was work, and it was having this and that really made you feel like you deserved attention and love. And that's, you know, that's been me recently. I actually felt like I was getting love from fitness and attention, and then I was getting love from work more recently. And I strongly connected my worthiness to my productivity level, and I would just birth myself into the ground. And when you're looking for worthiness and that sense of belonging in the wrong places, it's a black hole. You can do it day in and day out, ridiculously stupid, unachievable hours per day, and you will still at the end of the day feel like absolute shit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a really good lesson, is that if you are still, if you're working at the thing that you think is making you feel good, and it's at the end of the day, you still can't look yourself in the mirror and say, I love that person, you're looking in the wrong space.
100%.
So, and a lot of the time, I guess my biggest realization lately, after doing the tour and working myself into the ground after just recently having my second bub, was that I had to look within. And what does that mean? You know, you hear it all the time. I started doing heaps of reading on self-discovery and self-worth and self-love. And I'm like, what does it mean to look within? And I've recently really started honing in on the practice of meditation. That has been such an eye-opener for me. And, I actually set a course, a private course. Yeah.
Accurate.
I know. I kept it on the down low. Oh. I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm really just kind of filling it out. And I've done 40 minutes of meditation every day for the, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that previously I would have said, I don't have time for that. Mm. It's 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. But based upon my screen time, based upon, you know, watching The Bachelor, based upon watching whatever, you actually do have the time for things that you really want. And I found that I would laugh at people who say, I don't have time for fitness. Mm. And here I am saying that about something that is actually really important to the person that I am. And I didn't feel connected to myself. I didn't know, as much as I owned my story, it was, I just didn't feel like I really could wholeheartedly say that I belonged. And after the tour, I saw a psychologist and I started opening up about, like, she was just asking me questions like, how out of 1 to 100, how worthy do you feel? And I was just broken. I was just saying, you know, 1, 5, all these questions on the spectrum of 1 to 100, I just say, oh, you know, and it just made me so uncomfortable because I felt like a complete imposter. You know, I was like spreading the word on a national level and an international level online of worthiness and self-love. And here I was completely disconnected to all of that, everything that stems from it. So I was definitely looking for love and worthiness in the wrong place. And that was resulted in major anxiety and depressive thoughts, which I feel like when you've come from childhood trauma, those feelings can come back so quickly because it's just annoying like that. Lots of hard work, lots of inner reflection, and lots of stillness. That is the one thing that I did not have. I would not stay still enough to listen to what was going on in my head, and that was one of the biggest problems. So meditation has provided that, and at the moment I'm just using any free time that I have in self-discovery and really getting to know who I am as a person, and it's helped so much in my anxiety and so much in my mental health. Working with the psychologist now, you know, she's like, you're light years away from where you were a couple months ago. And again, relating back to having childhood trauma and something that you said in your podcast was that when you have done psychology work before, it's actually really works in your favor on the other end of the spectrum when you're climbing back up that mountain. When you've fallen down, it can be quicker because you do have tools that are there that you are revisiting and not visiting for the first time. So that works in your favor as well.
Yeah, and I feel like it's very easy to be slipping back into those old patterns and not actually even pick it up that you're sliding back. But it's so important, I guess, to like to get the help. And with meditation, I've been doing meditation too, and I found that for me, I didn't have any awareness of my thoughts before.
Yes.
And I was like being controlled by all of these thoughts, and I was just reacting based on this stuff. But meditation kind of gives you that opportunity to separate yourself from your thoughts and look at them and go, where the hell did that thought come from? And like let it go. Has that been a part of
you? Oh, definitely. You are not your thoughts is what I've come to the conclusion of. You are not your thoughts. So I have very intrusive thoughts. This is part of – so basically my psychologist appointment, she's said I have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, from childhood. And so these intrusive thoughts I have are fears of abandonment and fears of rejection from my family now. And yeah, this is – you bloody open.
Sorry. I cried.
Hello, everyone. My name's Rev, and here I am talking about my psychology appointment. But basically these intrusive thoughts just kept coming into my head. And when I kept myself so – the reason I kept myself so busy was to not have these intrusive thoughts, but then they got louder, and then I kept myself more busy, and then I'd be doing things, everyday tasks – but I would never be mindful. I would be doing 20 things at once to try and drown out these noises. And you're nodding
my head,
because you know I think as a mum, that's just life at the same time. And when you pair it up with society's image of if you're productive, you're worthy. If you are multitasking as a mum, you're worthy. If you are, and just being a mum is multitasking all of the time. Mm. So when you don't give yourself that moment of clarity and to be able to live life abundantly and wholeheartedly is to be yourself, but you don't have a single second of yourself in that day, like how are we meant to be ourselves? One of the biggest pieces of advice that people will give you is to be yourself.
You're like, who's that?
And yeah. You know, when you become a mum, who is that? Like you on, I would say that 90% of the feedback I get from mums is that they have no idea, because it's all tied to their job, it's all tied to their role in their community, and very often we completely lose grasp of that. We are just you know, we are just mum. And not to say that in a derogatory term that we're just a mum, but that we are stripped of everything else. So yeah, definitely being able to give myself time to actually listen and to tune in is the greatest gift. And I'm so happy that I've got that tool. I've always had meditation. It's funny that I honestly thought that I wasn't doing it right. You know,
you're like, I got too many thoughts.
Same. And it's funny that that's, unless you are a monk, you probably will always have thoughts, and that, you know, just give it time and daily practice and you will get better at it. So, to answer your question, it's so important to understand that you are not your thoughts. Those intrusive thoughts are just external voices that you have kind of adopted. And I believe that with those external voices and those perceptions and those feelings that have been manifested within you, you can unmanifest them.
Yes.
And you can extinguish them and drown them so that those are not your core beliefs anymore. And I love the analogy I read in a book by Dr. Kristen Neff, who talks about intrusive thoughts. And she says, you know, having intrusive thoughts, you can use the analogy that you have a little puppy come into your home and they start doing wee's and poops in your house, and you just pick the puppy up and you just pop it outside because I don't want that shit in here. So I love that, because it's really like, it really kind of separates you from the fact that, oh my, and that's the thing. It's like a vicious cycle. I'm having these thoughts. I'm a bad person. I'm not worthy because I have these thoughts.
And then you have more.
It's just like a shithole of, you know, crappy thoughts. So I think separating yourself from those thoughts and knowing that they are just because you haven't addressed them yet. You actually confront them. They really cannot survive when they're met with self-compassion. That's another thing I've learned. It's like crappy thoughts, intrusive, negative demons cannot survive when they're met with self-compassion, because like as Brené Brown says, you can't have fear and joy and love in the same thing. It's either joy and love or fear. So if you meet that, those crappy feelings with love, and you literally give yourself a mental or physical hug and say it's okay, it really does extinguish those negative thoughts.
Yeah, and there's so much just power, I think, in, you know, what you're saying with the option to separate and then choose and be like, oh, actually, I don't want to hold on to that. Like, that's not making me feel good.
And you can't even stop them sometimes. No. They're just there.
Yeah.
And it's just about, what are you going to give your energy to? Are you going to give them those negative thoughts time and energy and dwell on them and make your day shit and miss out on the present, which is all we have right now is now? Or are we going to just let them wash away? That's not me. That's just a silly thought, and that doesn't define who I am as a person.
I love that. And we do have an episode with Cass Dunn, who talks about mindfulness and meditation. Right. So anyone who wants to check out mindfulness and meditation, jump onto that episode. With having your first daughter and I guess the identity shift that happens there, we were talking about that just before, what was that like for you?
Do we have a few hours? Because no. In a nutshell, becoming a mum for me was a huge shift. Lexi was born into the world 11 days over. She was 9.10 pounds, and I did have a traumatic experience, as many people do, with birth. My mind set on this natural hypnobirthing experience, and that did not eventuate, no matter what I tried. And I kind of put a lot of those feelings of the birth trauma to bed, because I was like, I just need to focus on becoming a mum and what that means. Mm. It really raised a lot of worthiness feelings, the shock of how much love I had for my child, and that was not reciprocated when I was born.
Yes.
So that was really difficult. And again, I saw a psychologist. So I've seen a psychologist the majority of my life, to really help understand some of the emotions and feelings that I go through, especially when there is such a huge life-changing experience. And I think it is becoming more and more normal to go seek help, but mm-hmm. I won't ever stop kind of being an advocate for that, mm-hmm. because it's for some people, it's a really huge thing to ask for help still, mm-hmm. like huge. Mm-hmm. It means that there's something wrong with them. And it's just not the case. It just means that you're really strong, that you are able to ask for help.
Yes.
I struggled a lot with understanding how I could love someone so much and how could that happen to me. And a huge part of my identity was fitness, body image, performance. And I had an emergency C-section, so that meant no training for a certain amount of time. Everyone was saying, you're so fit, you'll just come back to it. Mm. And I was a coach at the gym, mm. where there were four or five other women in the last 12 months who'd had a baby. They'd all delivered naturally. And they all were doing exercises within 6 to 12 weeks that I took 3 to 4 times the length of duration to do. They were hanging off pull-up structures, mm. and doing pull-ups and mm. skipping. And I was just looking at them thinking, I am totally inadequate. Here I am meant to be the coach and the owner of this facility, and I just look like an absolute pork chop that doesn't know what they're doing. Mm. So I felt really shit about myself.
Comparison.
And I owned it. I was very transparent about my body, and saying that the person that you see on Instagram looking incredible 6 weeks postpartum is not me.
Mm-hmm.
I have gained this much weight. I'm definitely not back into fitness first and foremost. That's not my priority. My priority is my child and learning about me and what this new role means. But at the same time, just because I share things and I am vulnerable and I own things doesn't mean it doesn't come without difficulty.
It's
so hard still. I guess I have like a resilience in that way, that I just kind of come back from it and I have that strength to be like, it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And every time it's met with so much support and women around the world just in tears, mm. and thank you, you mm. know, and that just fuels me to keep doing it. You know, I think the first time I took the leap of being like, I don't like this about myself, but it's where I'm at right now. And it's met with so much power mm. of women just going, thank you, and mm. this has helped me, mm. is all I needed to keep going. Mm. So I still try and do that to this day. But yeah, absolutely, major shift in identity. And I really don't feel like I came into my own until, I don't know, 12 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a sleeper. I heard about your little man. And I hear stories like that all the time. And I think, wow, we were so lucky, because I think that would just delay the process even more, mm-hmm. because sleep is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It is everything. I find I had a pretty good run there, and that helped.
Sleep deprivation is like a form of torture.
It is a form of torture. Like it 100% is. Yeah. And to try and, you know, there are just, I just remember when you started Solids.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that I found breastfeeding quite straightforward. Mm-hmm. I know many people have complications with that. Lexi was just like straight on to boob and off she goes. And I actually feel like I thrive more in the newborn period than I did. I'm one of those weird people that actually loves newborns. Then I just hate, not hate, but
strongly dislike.
Strongly dislike. 18 months, I'm like, oh, and yeah, it's yeah, like yeah. about to be approaching that, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really remember a distinct moment of learning about solids.
Mm-hmm.
And just going, this is just too much. Like the sleep, the nap times that I was really trying to be proactive about and learning about sleep cycles, and then learning to just the breastfeeding, like making sure that I was feeding out of the right boob, blah, blah, blah. And then the solids came into it and I was like, no.
It's too much.
This is just, what? You want me to puree everything and they're only allowed this and that for the first 2 weeks, and just learning like some of the ins and outs and just thinking, okay, this is a lot.
It's a full-time job, this just trying to feed them and, yeah.
You need to go to university for this shit, okay? So, yeah, it's so difficult. And I think the biggest thing is time. Mm. is, like, it's okay. And the whole body thing, like, even I'm 14 months postpartum now, and I think, shit, it's just time.
Mm.
But in the moment, doesn't it just seem like eternity?
Yeah. And I feel like there's this shock. Like I remember when I had my little boy and he like, it was just shock. I was like, my stomach's still there. The hell? Like,
I look 9 months pregnant.
Yeah. It was, there is so much, I think, that isn't spoken about. And then when you're going through it, you're like, oh my God, I'm broken. There must be something wrong with me that I'm not looking like that or I'm not doing like that. And then you get stuck into that whole kind of like comparison thing. And it's like a downward spiral into worthiness stuff as well. Like you just start looking at, but that's why I think it's so important that, you know, people do share their stories like you do, because it just does make us all feel less alone in what we're going through.
Yeah.
It's so important.
That's another thing that where, you know, those negative thoughts and that feeling of unworthiness can't survive is if you are with community and when you feel isolated, that's when they fester. That's when they thrive in isolation.
They so do.
So it's so important. And I think that I'm quite grateful in a way for social media in the future because there are more, it's less of magazine editorials and less of TV adverts where it is a supermodel.
Airbrushed, yeah.
And it's just not attainable. And my girls and our kids will have more realness in their life. I mean, it depends on how you look at it and who you follow. But for me, I went through a major following detox and was like, okay, I really want to find authentic, organic, beautiful, real people filled with substance, content filled with substance. And that doesn't mean that I don't like beautiful aesthetic feeds. It just means there's balance. It's not just one or the other. It's a flow and it's real life. Like, yes, sometimes I look like this, but sometimes I look like shit.
Yeah.
it's just life.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's exciting that we have exposure to that now and that my girls will be like, I mean, I've never seen so many more real bodies until Instagram.
Yes, so true, so true.
Agree?
Yeah.
I know what so many women end up with now, and whether it's, you know, they barely look like they've had anything happen to them, whether it's major stretch marks, whether it's weight that's just not moving, stubborn fat, like all of that stuff, it is so eye-opening to me. I'm like, wow, I never knew that existed.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about it like that, but totally, there is so much more diversity in terms of the bodies and stuff that you see.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's strength in that. And there's just perspective. Because my perspective was I'm meant to bounce back. That was the only thing that I felt was going to happen.
So like, this isn't going to schedule.
Enter shock.
Yeah.
You know, enter shock where you just like, like you said, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Which was why there was such a resounding, you know, response for me sharing that stuff. I mean, Instagram's quite new still, really.
And having two little girls, has that sort of been I guess, a catalyst and motivation for you to work on your worthiness and work on the way that you love yourself?
Yeah, I feel like motherhood in general is just a catalyst to discover. For me, the biggest catalyst is to not miss it.
Yes.
Because at the moment, or, you know, earlier this year, I was so riddled with anxiety and depressive thoughts and the feeling of being unworthy, which is just so suffocating. It's stress. And I, as a consequence of that, got adrenal fatigue after the tour, and I've been trying to patch that all together, which is such hard work. But at the same time, it all led to this self-discovery that I'm on now, which is really exciting. But absolutely, like, the kids are growing up so quickly. They grow up before your eyes, and they literally overnight change. Mm-hmm. And when you're riddled with stress and anxiety and not feeling like you are enough, you are missing out.
Yeah.
And I did not want to wake up one day and it'd be Lexi's first day of school.
Mm.
Like, shit, you know, she's 3.5.
Yeah, how did that happen?
and I didn't want to just go, oh, she's at school. Oh, she's just finished primary school. Oh, she's moved out of home. Like, and that's where I was heading because I just couldn't be still. So absolutely they are just a slap in the face.
Yes.
let's get real. Because time is moving. And I really appreciate that from them. You know, just the greatest gifts and the greatest teachers and the biggest pain in the ass.
Oh, so funny. But yeah, I agree totally. I feel like they're little like mindfulness teachers. Like, yeah. You know, they teach you to be present in the moment because you're in your head and you're thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And they're like, Mom, a bird. And you're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, a bird. Okay, cool. Like,
yeah,
they
kind of,
yeah. They like kind of just
they
bring
do.
You back.
They bring you back to now. They bring you back to the present. That's what I mean. It's just such little gifts. They are just, they're just little, yeah, that's a lovely word and term for it is the mindfulness teachers. It's so true.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes. So if someone is listening now and they're sort of stuck in maybe where you were, like 12 months ago, and they're feeling like they are struggling with worthiness and they're not sure like sort of what steps to take, what advice would you give to someone who's like sort of going through that at the moment?
I guess, you know, you're using your time wisely. You know, I have really tried to be a lot more conscious of where I was spending my time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was online because it's my job and I felt like that created a bit of a monster for myself because it is my job. I love it. It's purpose filled. It's my online community. They're my online family. But then it also came at like this snowball effect where I was like, but I'm just, you know, I'm working, I'm on it, you know, and it just became like a bit of an addiction. Where are you spending your time? You know, and we have such great tools to see where we're spending our time now.
I'm scary.
And yes, very confronting. And where are we actually giving our attention to? Because if you are feeling like you're not worthy and if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's probably a great point to look at and acknowledge where you're putting your energy into, because it's probably in every other outer area of your life and not the person staring back at you in the mirror. And I've always said, you know, as women, as mums in particular, we are 100 miles per hour from the moment we wake up. We get ready, we get them ready, we shove a piece of toast in our mouth, we're getting into daycare, we're getting off to work, or we're, you know, dealing with tantrums, dealing with these little pocket rockets filled with emotions. And there is 2 to 3 minutes in a day where we look at ourselves in the mirror and we take ourselves in and we say, I wish this was smaller. I wish this was better. I wish my hair was like that. And then we look at Instagram and we look at the things that are in our hands all day, every day. And we go, I wish I had that job. I wish I had her clothes. I wish I had that talent. Of, you know, being able to bake a cake or being able to play a musical instrument. And it's all, I am not enough.
this isn't enough. I am not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. And it's when have we actually stopped in that day and actually given ourselves something?
Mm.
Like when?
Mm.
We just do not stop. And that was me 12 months ago. Give until I literally had adrenal fatigue and my thyroid stopped working and I have really bad guts. I'm intolerant to everything because my insides have just been rejecting and shutting off everything.
Mm.
And I was couch bedridden and still trying to provide for my family.
Mm.
And you can't. You actually can't provide for your family when you're that effed.
Yeah.
So have a moment to yourself and actually evaluate where you're spending your time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do have that moment within that day, try and extend that 2 to 3 minutes when you look at yourself in the mirror when you're getting ready and actually give yourself a huge hug, a big piece of love and compassion. Because if we don't stop and do that, we are going to spiral into a cesspit of unworthiness and those feelings of not enough. And I think it's a very common thing that us mums do to ourselves. And yeah.
When you're talking about doing those things, I know one of the biggest challenge mums have around that is often feeling guilt for giving back to themselves. Have you sort of experienced that and how do you...
Oh, my God.
Have you ever experienced mum guilt?
What's mum guilt? What is mum guilt? I would just love to know. I feel like I am the poster child for mum guilt because of the experiences that I've had and the depths of unworthiness that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been the perfect storm for not being able to give myself time after children. And because you have this badge of like, everything that they do must be because, like, I'm responsible for everything that they eat, see, do, poop, everything. we just put this huge amount of pressure on ourselves and it's usually internalized. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, yeah, a lot of people say that they have different work pressures and relationship pressures and that, but are they actually there, you know, or are they internalized? Now I've forgotten your question.
Guilt.
Have
you experienced it? Yes. And how do you sort of like get through it? Like, have you found that meditation has helped you catch the guilt when it's happening? Or
I feel like I got better at guilt before the meditation process really started for me and the daily practice of that. I feel like I have experienced mum guilt to its depths. And I think the acknowledgement came at breaking. I was stopped in my tracks of not giving back to myself and being everything for everyone else. And my health was stopped me in the tracks and said, you're kaput, you're finished.
Wake up call, yeah.
So massive wake up call. And I think to be able to overcome mum guilt is just small steps at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that self-care is the most least selfish thing that you can do because you cannot be – there's a debate, you know, that I'm kind of tracking along at the moment, and it's that it's a pretty, I guess, what am I trying to say, an argumentative point that if you don't love yourself, you can't love others.
Mm-hmm.
Because my first reaction to that is bullshit.
Mm.
I have not loved myself for the majority of my life and I've loved others. But I guess the point is that you can't love you can only love others to a certain extent if you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually kind of done a full 180 and gone, I actually think that's kind of true, as scary as it is for a lot of people who struggle with self-love and that we don't want to hear that. When I'm really searching within and going within, I've understood that a lot more. And that means that if we don't love ourselves, we are actually not displaying that in everyday life. And you can tell someone and you can tell your children to not do this and to be this, But if you aren't demonstrating that and living that in your everyday life, it's monkey see, monkey do.
100%.
Not monkey say, monkey
do.
It's 100%. They will follow your actions. So if that isn't enough of an inspiration for you to start giving back to yourself and start putting self-love exercises and daily practices into execution, then, like, you know, it's vital. It's so important that if you're someone that struggles with worthiness, that struggles with self-love, that we break that cycle for whatever reason it is, whether it's relationship, childhood, domestic violence situations. We need to be the role model in our kids' lives.
I think when you're just saying that, like, that Brené Brown book, and she talks about hustling for worthiness, and it's like that. I feel sometimes, you know, at home as a mum, you're like, I want to make sure they have the perfect food and the perfect this and the perfect that, and then I'll be a good mum, yes. And then I'll be worthy. And it's like, it can be work, it can be cooking, it can be whatever. But if you don't sort of like sit back and actually go, well, I'm worthy already just because I am, because I have a pulse and I'm like living, and I can, you know, I have to give back to myself first. Otherwise I'm not in a position to like, to give to others.
Totally.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. It's, Brené does say in that book that you were just referring to, I'm just trying to remember the quote right now. It's, worthiness, there are no prerequisites for worthiness. Mm-hmm. I love that because it isn't like you have a checklist and then you're like, oh, and now I'm worthy. Yeah. Like, oh, my house is clean, my child is perfect, my relationship is great, and now I'm worthy. Mm-hmm. That's not attainable.
No.
And so many people are doing this rat race, this trying to fill this black hole of this checklist.
Mm.
It's not like, if we actually just stop and we actually just give ourselves some recognition and acknowledgement for the amazing people and mums and women that we are, that's when we will start to feel worthy. It all begins within. And that's something that I have just recently probably relearned. I've learned it in the past. And it's just a different struggle, different challenge. And now it's I'm feeling so more grounded possibly than ever before, because every time you do relearn, you learn another layer.
Yes.
And that's exciting.
Mm.
It's like I'm getting down to the core, and it's just never too late, you know. It's just never too late to do that work.
I'm so excited for you. I feel like, yeah, it's just super inspiring to see how you have, I guess, as well, just taking charge and been like, I'm going to do this for me, and I'm going to, really work on it. It's
awesome. We are the highest. We need to be our highest authoritative figure in our lives. We need to be. If we give that authority to anyone else, you're going to struggle. You can't give it to your kids. You can't. And that's one of the things that when you become a mum is like, if they don't love me, I'm not enough. And if I'm not giving to them, I'm not enough. But it's just not the way we need to flip that.
Yeah.
We need to flip that. And I love Dear Mama because I feel like it's doing that. It's saying, no, it starts with you first and then them. And the biggest question I got on the tour, the biggest, most consistent question that was asked upon all of the Q&A sessions was, I just put my kids first and I don't know how to not do that. It's just like, I get it. I hear you. I see you. But if you keep doing that, you're going to run yourself into the ground, and you're not setting the right example for 100%. Them. And I'm not saying that as I got it all right. I know what I'm doing and you don't, because I hate to come across like that. I've learned from experience. I've learned from... And I still take steps back, and I still give them too much, and then I burn myself out. I'm saying this as I'm learning with you, not for you or above you or anything like that. I'm saying this in terms of I'm discovering, and I want to share this and shout from the rooftops, because it's liberating to understand that I am not my kids, I am not my job, I am not my fancy car. I don't have a fancy car, but I am not any of these things or my, you know, beautiful this or that. I am me, and it is my birthright that I am worthy.
I'm here and I'm worthy.
Oh, I love that. And I think when you were just talking about the mums with that question, I feel like there needs to be like an element of questioning the way that we're conditioned as women to think what motherhood is. Like there's this thing where it's like motherhood, you need to be selfless and you need to be doing this. And it's like, actually, do you? Like, does that actually work? Because I've done that and it sucked.
Yeah.
Like it sucked for me. Mm-hmm. But it also, like, I feel like when you're giving from a point of I have to do this, I have to do that, you're giving on based on a condition. Mm-hmm. Like you're giving and you're going like, you know, I'm giving this so that I'm the perfect mom. Whereas if you're kind of going, I'm going to fill my own cup first and then the overflow is going to go to my family, and I'm giving from a place of abundance, not from a place of being like.
That's beautiful.
Like,
I love that.
Yeah.
That's really, that's magic. That's liquid verbal gold. It's so true. Like you're giving from such a much more pure place.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Cause I think, I know I've been caught in that trap myself where I'm doing it because I think I'm meant to be doing it, not because I genuinely want to.
Yes. And I find I'm so much more present now with my kids, not because I'm like, okay, now I'm giving you, like, as an example from that, it's like, now I'm giving you the time because it's what's scheduled in, this is what I'm meant to be doing, versus now I just find myself in moments of just pure magic with them. And it's not because it's scheduled and I owe it to them. It's because I'm just able to actually be with them and just take them in, the little cute things that they do. They're cute.
Oh, my God. I saw the I'm a singlet. I was like laughing.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen one of my recent posts is I was singing I'm a singlet with Beyonce in the car, and we were all jamming to it. Like Lola was doing a little wobble and Lexi was singing it to the top of her lungs. I was singing it and we hopped out the car and Lexi's like, I'm a singlet. And I was like, what are you saying? And then she just kept on saying it clear as day. And I was like, this is the best thing.
Yeah.
And it's just those moments. If you're feeling, if you're suffering from stress and all of the crap shit talk and the noise, you can't take in those moments, and they're just going to go so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I just feel like I'm going to blink my eyes and Lexi's going to be like, Mum, can you just drop me off around the corner because I don't want to be seeing you? And I'll be like, drive off and
bawl my eyes out. Oh, but it's so true. Like even now it's gone so quickly. I can only imagine that it's just gonna, time is just gonna keep going so quickly, and then they'll be in high school and we'll still be cool though, right?
Probably you. I think I'll think I'm cool.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing.
Sorry, Lexi and Lola.
I'm sure they'll love it. I'm sure they'll love it. Well, thank you so much. I've got one last question I wanted to wrap up with, and that is, if you could go back in time and you could sit down next to Rebby, she's just received her first baby, Lexi, what would you want her to know about what's ahead?
Oh, that's an emotional question. I didn't see that one coming. Okay, Nikki. I would just reassure myself, you know, that everything's going to be okay, and that just to be more gentle with myself, my expectations, lower them, just savor it, be in the now, don't compare, don't try to fit in, just you are exactly where you're meant to be right now. And that whole, you know, true belonging is not fitting in, it's just belonging to yourself. So just really hone in on that, you know, that chair. Oh my God. That chair that you're sitting in and just staring at them, there's nothing more important than that. Yeah. And like, it's just keep sniffing your little head, and everything's gonna be amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Like, we just have to take them in, and the little head sniffs. Oh, like, I miss those so bad.
Clay's gonna kill you because I'm gonna be like, oh, are we done? just crossed over the line. I'm so excited for this podcast and the whole Dear Mama movement. I think there's just got to be more of this stuff. And I think for you as a spokesperson and a role model and a voice for women and people who are going through matrescence, I just think you are perfect and that you will do amazing things and impact so many women on such a deep positive level.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Back at you.
Yeah.
Before we go, do you have anything you want to tell us about what you're working on or things that are happening, or is it all top secret?
No, honestly, I'm really happy just to be here and I'm really enjoying my work and I do have exciting things planned, but at the moment I'm just kind of working on them internally and just letting them kind of
grow.
Yeah, I feel like you guys will be really excited when you hear what's coming. Yay. But it's bit of a process and it's exciting and I guess it is top secret. I didn't even know what it was, but I guess it probably is.
Oh well, super excited for you in so many ways, you know, both personally and professionally and just everything, Lee. You're doing so well and thank you for sharing everything that you do and just helping us all so much and
thank
helping
you. I love this podcast. I want to come back, please. Yes, anytime.
Anytime. We'll bring tissues next time.
Yes.
thanks, babe. How amazing was that chat? I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm so excited to see what Revy has in store for the next year, and I know that whatever it is, it will be amazing. I'll include a link to her social channels in the show notes so you can keep an eye out. If you enjoyed this episode, get in touch. Share a screenshot on IG stories or send me a DM and let me know what your key takeaways were. I'm at Dear Mama Project on Instagram, and I would love to continue the conversation over there. Have an amazing week, and I will see you again next week.